What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. Hope everyone had a splendid weekend. Jackie, was your weekend splendid?
It was splendid. It was very busy being a TV junkie.
What does resplendid mean?
Something else. I watched so much TV this weekend, so I feel like you and I have...
You finished OBX?
I finished OBX. I have so much to talk about. I mean, we have so much to talk about because, like, last night was the night of television.
Oh, my God. And I didn't even get to everything because I also forgot that the season finale of Shaws of Sunset was last night. I couldn't get to it. I was dead.
No. We had 4 hours plus, because White Lotus was more than an hour, of content to watch, and it was just overwhelming. Plus, I watched season two of OBX this weekend. So many thoughts. Mostly, I just want to read all the texts that I sent you throughout my journey of watching it.
Totally.
All of the plot holes that just, I can't not see.
The moronic nature of so many characters was really infuriating.
Really infuriating. But other than that, my weekend was good. It was Bru's birthday yesterday, and we had a little celebration for him. Some of the Nibs came over, Claudia came over, and it was just, he was feeling really special and loved.
Good, good.
And I'm just so proud of him. I realized this morning that I said I was going to bring him today, but thank God I didn't, because it is sweltering in here. We're always complaining that it's too cold. The AC broke.
I'm literally, like, this is my worst nightmare realized. It's so hot, and there's no air circulation. I feel like, you know how they say you can't leave, like, a person in a hot car?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're currently in a hot car. It's so hot in here.
I actually did feel something coming out
of the vent.
By the
way, I was just going to say that.
It's just, like, not super cold.
So I, of course, you know, lodged a complaint, like an official maintenance request, and I do kind of feel like there's air. Anyone else? Or maybe I'm literally having a mirage.
No, I think there's something coming out of there, but it's just not doing what it usually does. We could always open a window if need be, like you're not in a car, but...
No, I'm in a car. Is my face really red? I feel like I'm actually going to faint. Not to be dramatic.
Do you have water?
Yeah, right here.
Okay, yeah, I have a bottle of water to help us get through the show. I'm wearing like a gray long sleeve.
Oh,
I'm
going
to have pit stains by the
fucked.
End. I'm fucked.
I'm actually really excited to be back here on the toast, more level-headed. Than I was on Friday, because, you know, I got some negative feedback from my episode on Friday, like, because I think that, like, I was too hungover, like, I was not functioning, you know,
okay.
And, like, you really were just, like, babysitting me, and I really apologize for that.
Did you get negative feedback, like, one-to-one, like, in your DMs or, like, in comments?
Like, a lot everywhere, you know, like, because I just wasn't even speaking English, I wasn't functioning as a human being, so I understand the frustration I do, and, like, hangovers are funny until they really impact... Like, I wasn't even speaking. Like, I don't even know what I was saying, honestly. So, I'm really excited to be back here, like, fully alive.
I'm excited to have you back fully alive. I do miss those skeleton pants, though. I just kept looking at pictures of them on my phone over the weekend and laughing.
I tried to get you a pair as, like, a present. Can't find them. They're literally a collector's item. Or maybe they're not going to be back until the Halloween season.
I don't really want to hear about the gifts that I didn't get. And I just ordered you a new gift.
Oh, my God, so did I.
For you or for me?
For you.
Oh my God, I wonder what it is.
It's really good.
I think yours is really good, but it's custom, so I
don't... So is mine.
Don't tell
me. Do you
think
we ordered the same thing?
Stop. Okay. Stop. That would be crazy.
That would be crazy.
But don't
tell. Tell me what website you ordered it from.
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Like funkadelics.com.
Okay.
No, like it was... I can't tell you because that will give it away.
No, I don't want to know.
Okay. What website did you order it from?
I'm not telling you.
That would be so crazy. We're just out gifting each other. I read the craziest thing last week, speaking of Halloween, that I need to share with the class, which is that, you know, it's almost Halloween, Spirit Halloween will be popping up all over the city once again, including in former Barney's.
You're kidding.
Isn't that insane?
Okay, so for those who don't know, in the city, there's not really any year-round costume stores because it's dumb.
Yeah, like Ricky's. There are costume stores.
Ricky's? There haven't been a Ricky's in the city in like 10 years.
What are you talking
There might be
about?
One last one on the Upper East Side. There are no Ricky's.
Ricky's is the go-to.
Jackie.
Ricky's is the spot.
There haven't been
there's
Ricky's.
There's also a costume store in...
Okay, there's like two in Astor Place.
Yeah, 8th Street.
Yeah, okay. But there's not like a million whatever. So what they do is like there's this company called Spirit Halloween and they do pop-ups for like...
3 months.
2 months.
I saw my local Spirit Halloween is
getting
opening.
Started.
It's getting started. It's revving up.
So... they do pop-ups and they just use like all these pop-up locations. So you're telling me that the former department store to the Stars, home of Fred Siegel, is doing a pop-up?
The Barney's storefront will be used as a Spirit Halloween if you wanted to understand the state of New York
That's
City.
That's so sad.
It was so sad when I saw it.
Ooh, but you know, they got girls gotta eat.
Yeah.
Damn, that's depressing.
Yeah, I thought you would think so.
Well, I can't. What are you going to be for Halloween? Oh, we actually
just settled on our Halloween costume for the toast. It's pretty fucking spectacular.
It's pretty genius. And I just, like, because I'm so annoying, have to say, like, I did come up with it.
It was Claudia's idea. So if you don't like it, you know who to talk to. And if you do like it, you know who to talk to.
You know what's so crazy is, like, every year we're like, oh my God, we're never going to be able to top what we did last year. And every year, like, we really kind of hit it out of the park. We're due for, like, a flop, you know?
Yeah. I don't think this is it. Also, like, it's not even about what we're dressed up as. It's what we bring to the table.
And how, like, our spin on the characters.
Right. So.
Like, your kind of teenage angsty spin on Prince Harry was, you know, acting genius.
Yeah. I think it was, like, a bit of a revelation for some people. And also, now knowing, like, what we know about Harry, it was pretty on the money.
Pretty. Brother.
Gran.
So get excited for our Toast Halloween 2021, our fourth Halloween, right? Fifth.
Fifth if you include the breath.
You have to include the breath. It was the best episode of all time.
Yeah.
And since that footage no longer exists, one of these days we should redo it.
No, it was like, I know. It didn't end well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, we were both offending each other, but the content was supreme.
I will never.
You'll never? Okay.
I'll never.
Okay.
I will never step back into your shoes.
Okay. We have a great show. Literally just have so much TV to talk about. Not much happened in the pop culture world over the weekend, but that's fine because we have OBX, we have Love Island.
You guys.
It's not Love Island, it's Love Island with a grimace on my face.
I don't even have the words for how I'm feeling about what transpired last night. I feel defrauded.
Yeah, I feel like taken advantage of.
I feel angry.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have so much anger bottled up in me over what happened on the show. We'll get to it, but I don't even know. Like, I just feel, I don't even have the words. Do you know what I mean?
So
like,
you're speechless.
No. Yeah. It's like, usually I'm so angry. And so I'm just going to like, let him know my thoughts. I will let you know my thoughts. But like, this sort of anger just has me silent.
And this is your official spoiler alert for the entire episode. We're recapping Outer Banks, Real Housewives of Potomac, the White Lotus season finale that aired last night, and the Love Island season finale that aired last night. If you haven't watched any of those things, do not come crying to me that we spoiled it.
Okay.
Literally on the Instagram last night, I was very particular not to spoil anything, but I wanted to announce, you know, I wanted to get people's thoughts on White Lotus.
And you
needed
to get the pictures in order for today's
feed.
Thank
you. And so for Love Island, I posted the Love Island, I posted Carousel. The first picture was just like the poster for the show. And then I said swipe to see the winner. And the amount of people who were like, you spoiled it. You spoiled it.
I will say Instagram has a glitch where sometimes like when you're scrolling through your feed, it brings you to the second photo.
I've never seen that in my life.
Like if you were on someone else's carousel and you left it on like the second photo, you didn't scroll back to number one. Like sometimes when you scroll through the rest of your feed, if there's another carousel, it starts you on number two. It's a really bad glitch. So I understand how that happened for people, but... you know what? Like, it's not like it was a big suspenseful evening and we saved you 2 hours.
I just want to say I've never heard or seen that glitch.
Oh, okay. I have that glitch sometimes. But we saved you 2 hours, so actually you're welcome.
I'm having this new glitch where, like, if I want to upload something to my story for my camera roll, like, one in every five will not post. It just goes automatically red.
Oh, interesting.
And then, like, you have to delete it, re-upload it. Will not go. Like, the file is corrupt and Instagram will not recognize it.
Yeah, that happens to me too sometimes.
So annoying.
But usually when there's a glitch, I guess you have to vocalize it. Someone's got to say something and then they fix it really quickly.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone's ever mentioned that carousel glitch though until now. Watch, it's going to go away.
Also, like, remember when we were standing by the elevator here in our studio, like a couple weeks ago, and you were just like being funny and I was filming you and you were like, send me that, tag me. That was a corrupt file. I never got to upload it. I don't even remember like what it was, but
that's disgusting.
It was disgusting.
Yeah, it was. I was being so funny.
Like, yeah, yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But I forget what I was doing, but I was me being too. Hysterical.
But I was like in the Uber trying to upload. It's like red, red, red. It's like fuck off.
Ugh, that's so annoying.
So annoying.
All right. Yeah, so wait. I just wanted to ask you, of everything that we watched last night, what was your favorite, most enjoyable thing?
Honestly, The Real Housewives of Potomac. It was really? Really, it was really good.
For me, it was White Lotus.
Okay. I mean, I really... Let's just breeze through the stories. I have so much to say, and I don't want to spoil it.
The stories are breezeable. We need to get like a stop clock because we should give 3 minutes to each story. That's how nothing they are.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes the nothingness comes to an amazing tangent.
No, I know. And like when we wanted to, it always can. But I want to get to the motherfucking TV recap.
Me too. Because like today's episode is literally just going to be called the TV recap show.
Yeah. So without further ado, miss you. It is time for the fast
moment of silence.
Moment of silence for Dew's absence and Brew's absence. I lied again. It is time for the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Skylight Frame. Staying in touch with those we love is more important than ever, and the easiest way to do it is with a Skylight Frame, a photo frame you can email photos to anytime from anywhere. It's a great gift for someone with a birthday coming up, someone who just had a baby, or even for yourself. Basically, anyone can send photos to the frame in just seconds, so it's a great way to keep in touch with friends and family, keep them up to date on how you're looking, how the kids are growing. It's really thoughtful, and it's very effortless to use. The setup can take less than 60 seconds, and even the least tech-savvy person can use it. It looks like a real photo frame, and it adds a beautiful touch to your home. It has a gorgeous 10-inch touchscreen where you can swipe through photos with your finger and even tap to thank the person who sent a photo. The Skylight Frame has 100% satisfaction guaranteed. If you don't love it, they will offer you a full refund. You can tap the heart button and let the sender know you loved your photo. So it's just great for someone, especially it's really not that hard technologically to set up. So if like for a mom or a grandma, grandpa, it's really, really thoughtful. And even a non-tech savvy person can set it up and use it. So when you go to skylightframe.com, use the code TOAST if you want to get $10 off of your purchase of a Skylight Frame. So that's skylightframe.com, code TOAST, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, code TOAST. This is a great solution because we were just talking about how like if you walked into my house, you would literally never know who lived there because like for so long I didn't have like any pictures of my friends or family. And now instead of buying like 30 frames, I just have one.
Yeah.
A little slideshow.
It's such a great gift too. Mm-hmm. So think about that if you want to get me something, Claude.
Oh, okay.
For the gift that didn't arrive. Okay, first story, which I found to be like the most interesting story of the day. In the celebrity world, Travis Barker flies for the first time since his deadly plane crash. Travis Barker has gotten on a plane for the first time since his deadly 2008 plane crash. According to photos obtained by TMZ, the Blink-182 rocker and his girlfriend Kourtney Kardashian flew to Cabo on Saturday. Photos show the hot and heavy couple leaving LA in Kylie Jenner's private jet, also known as Kylie Air, and also deplaning once they landed safely in Mexico. The outlet reports that momager Chris and Corey Gamble were also on board. So this is really, really big. A lot of Travis fans know that due to the accident he got into in 2008, he has not flown since. Him and Courtney are always on the bus.
Tour bus. And like when he goes to Europe, he does the QE2. Like he will go out of his way not to travel on a plane because in 2008, he was in the plane crash that killed
DJ AM.
No. Two other people, him and DJ AM, survived. And a year later, DJ AM died of an overdose.
Right, right.
But he was in the hospital for like years doing skin grafts. His skin was super burned. It was like an incredibly traumatizing moment for him. And of course, he's never been on a plane again.
Right.
But you got to go to Cabo. So I guess Courtney gave him the strength to and try again. And, you know, I just feel like there's so many things about this story that are so great. Like anyone overcoming their fears is a beautiful thing. It really is. But just the little details are so heartwarming. One, that they flew Kylie Air because, you know, that's like the most premium fucking plane.
Right. And like, you know, Kylie definitely made it so special for them.
Yeah. Do you think they had to pay for it? I'm just curious.
I think they had to pay for like the gas and the hangar fees. Like she's not just like giving away rides, but not as much as they would pay to charter from like charter.com.
Right, their own charter.
Yeah.
And first of all, I love that Corey and Chris were there. I just feel like they're the exact type of people I would want to overcome a fear with. Like so supportive.
Yeah.
And two, this article's from TMZ, so I feel like it's straight from Kris Jenner's mouth. And they had a lot of really interesting details. Like Travis was 2 hours late for the flight. Unclear whether that's delays or he was just like having second guesses.
Yeah, second thoughts. You know, maybe he's a late person.
Yeah, so it was just like...
Also, really, it's just like crazy to see Travis and like his vibe next to the Kylie Air pliny pink plane.
Totally.
It's just really like beautiful. Stark. And knowing that it's like this major moment and them as a couple like are overcoming so much together, it just brings a tear to the eye.
I know. I'm curious how he can really enjoy his trip because he has to fly back home as well, unless he's taking the tour bus. But I don't know. Like, I just feel like he wouldn't really be able to enjoy himself because he has like this big hurdle coming up at the end of the trip.
Right, where he has to get back on the plane. But maybe he has a plan in place for if he did, say like the way there, he didn't feel good about it. He definitely has like a plan.
An Uber, yeah.
Yeah, an Uber, rental Hertz car yeah. to drive.
Can you drive from Cabo?
I believe that you can because it's like you drive up the strip and then you just keep driving to California. Going from California
to Mexico?
From LA to Cabo is like going from New York to Florida. So I guess you could drive.
You could. It would take like a day.
Yeah, but you could do it.
So I wonder why he didn't just take the tour bus.
I don't know.
Maybe it was time.
Maybe it was time, yeah. So I just think that that's such a beautiful story. I hope they're having an amazing trip.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall on the inside of that plane. Like, what was going on?
No, I would have.
Were they doing, like, breathing exercises? Was he freaking out the whole time? Was he able to relax? Did they have a drink? Like, what went on?
I don't know. I'm sure there were good snacks. You know, of Kylie course. Always provides.
Only the best for Kylie Air.
Yeah.
That Crazy. Plane is so sick.
So sick. Also, news, Courtney cut her hair.
Yeah. Not my favorite.
I love when the girls have short hair. I really like. I just love short hair, and I'm just like waiting for the day where I go back to mine. But I love when Kim has it. I love when Kylie has it. I love when Khloe has it.
I don't.
And now Courtney has it, and so I'm digging it.
I'm such a staunch long hair girl.
I know.
That it really just goes against everything I believe in. But I feel like whatever their
hair. But you always say for me, you always tell me to go back to my bob.
I just want to say I haven't said that in a while, and I have changed my thoughts on it.
What changed?
When I, like, look back at pictures. I'm like, it was so cute back then, but, like, you just look better now.
Huh. Makes you think.
Are you sweating? Because, like, I'm moments from fainting.
No, I haven't broken the perspire
You're
yet.
You're kidding.
Mm-mm. I'm staying wow. dry, but it's every fiber Ooh. Of my being.
Yo, like, the back of my hair. Do you see it's glistening?
Oh, my God. No, you don't look like you're sweating yet, Okay. though.
Like, this is, we have literally been left to podcast in a hot car.
Yeah, so we're going to just have to move faster.
But I don't want to rush, because, you know, I really had such a pit about Friday's episode, like, not leaving it all out on the table.
No, we're not rushing till we, like, just for TV recap.
Okay. What?
We both need a I second know. To pause to drink some water, because we're overheating.
You know when people get, like, hot and they have, like, white crusties on their lip?
Go away.
Okay.
Go away with your crusties.
Sorry.
Okay, next up, cute reunion news. Jason Momoa and Emilia Clarke get together for a Game of Thrones reunion. They posted an adorable series of photos while celebrating Game of Thrones creator David Benioff's birthday a month early.
It's so nice they were celebrating his birthday.
It is nice that they were celebrating. It's really, really nice. This picture of the two of them is really cute. Like, I love...
She looks so teeny tiny.
She looks so teeny tiny. I love their love for each other. Obviously, if you watch Game of Thrones, here we have Khaleesi and Khal Drogo. They were OTP until, you know...
They weren't.
They weren't. And it does look like she's wearing my flats. I just wanted everyone to know that.
Oh, my God. She's wearing your white used flats.
She looks like she has them in a lighter...
Like a pale pink?
A pale pink. So I believe that they're Nicholas Kirkwood. Like, the heel looks the same. And I just feel extremely vindicated because even if they're not exactly the same shoe...
The style.
It's the same style. And she chose it. And it's good enough for Khal Drogo.
Wow. That's actually a really interesting thing you pointed out. I didn't notice that.
I noticed it, but I didn't want to, like, comment because on the picture and, like, draw attention to my flats, you know?
Why?
Because everyone's just like, no. Everyone has, like, knocked me down.
So then stop wearing them.
I can't. They should go with everything. They go with everything.
Let me ask you another question. I thought you got a new pair. It's not that the flats are ugly. They're just a little worn out.
Okay, I didn't get a new pair of white versions, but I got them in, like, a nudie pink. Sometimes when white doesn't match, I can wear that color.
And why won't you just get a new pair of white?
They're expensive, honestly. They're, like, a really fancy shoe. They're still sold at Bergdorf's. I bought them, like, 3 years ago, and they're still in style. So tell it to Linda.
Who's Linda?
Oh, curator at Bergdorf's.
Yeah. Okay, I just think there's nothing wrong with the shoes. Just that they're, like, take them to a shoemaker. They're just, like, black at the top and, like, dirty.
Okay, but that's not what people are complaining about. I just want you to know. They don't like the style. They don't like the vibe. And they just, I don't know, want to see me wearing dino stompers or something. It's not going to happen.
I don't know how you deal with the backlash.
It's really hurtful when something's so important to you.
Back to Khal Drogo and Khaleesi. Every time these two are together, like, I literally just want to, like, die of happiness. It's just so joyous.
Yeah.
And it kind of, like, even though I know he and his mama are in love, I do ship, like, in IRL.
No, I agree. Even though I know there's, like, no hope for any of this. But, like, they really do give us everything that we could ask for. Like, even these captions. Like, when your son in stars rolls into town, you check that he can still bench press a Khaleesi. And then he said, moon of my life, you are wonderful. Love you forever.
No, they literally talk on Instagram, like, cosplaying as Khal Drogo and Khaleesi. And they give the fans what they want.
They give the fans everything.
Yeah, and I say this all the time, but like when people who
reject the thing that made them famous,
yes, it bothers me so much. Like they just try and act like that thing didn't exist and they just want to move. And I understand probably wanting to move on with your life, but it's so annoying. And I just love that Khal Drogo and Khaleesi are giving us everything. And literally anytime I see two people from Game of Thrones, like no matter who they are, in the same room, it's like the best day of my life.
Yeah, also when you see two of them in the same show in the same room, like when I was watching Medici and we had Rob Stark in the same room as Walder Frey and he was marrying his daughter. Shook.
That's crazy.
Really, yeah, really crazy.
And also seeing Game of Thrones characters like acting in other things or even just like out in the real world, none of them look like themselves. Like the way that they were like in hair and makeup and the outfits in Game of Thrones is so bizarre looking because you see them on a red carpet, Gwendolyn Christie, like two different people.
Yeah, it's really shocking. Crazy. Even Khaleesi, she's probably the, like the biggest... Now we're used to her being like Khaleesi versus Emilia Clarke, mm-hmm. but like the wig and like the everything, it's just, it was crazy. It was a crazy time.
Honestly, the person who probably looks the exact same is Sansa.
Yeah, but
Sophie
also,
Turner looks just like Sansa.
Yeah, but she has blonde hair now. Sansa's red hair.
Yeah, but like for a while, like even outside of the show, she still had red hair.
Yeah, no, I would say Jason Momoa is the one who looks like his character the most.
Of course, yeah.
Anyway, so it's just like really cute news for all you Throners out there.
That is cute.
Are you ready for our next story?
Sure.
Lea Michele is showing support for Beanie Feldstein's Bunny Doll casting. She said, "You are the greatest star."
I mean, she had to say something.
Yep. Lea Michele is joining other celebrities and showing her support for Beanie Feldstein following the news that she is cast as Fanny Bryce in the Funny Girl revival on Broadway. Feldstein shared the announcement on her Instagram page last week, captioning her post, "I went to my third birthday party dressed as Fanny Bryce, so sometimes dreams actually come true."
That's cute.
In the comments section, various stars celebrated the good news, including Lea Michele, who said, "Yes, you are the greatest star. This is going to be epic."
I mean, homegirl had to say something just because literally the name on everyone's lips was Lea Michele. And she had to be the bigger person and she had to just be magnanimous. But she's dying inside. Like, I don't know that for a fact, but I know it for a fact.
Yeah.
What?
No, I just sometimes feel like when there's just such like an obvious narrative out there that it's not true.
That's possible.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So... like, I don't know how this all went down. I just feel like it's not as, like, exactly how we think it is.
I know, but, like, how can Lea Michele not be upset?
I don't know. Yeah.
That's like if they put together an influencer. Ready? If they put together an influencer play and they were doing Hairspray and they gave Tracy Turnblad to someone else. Like, that's the role I was... well, not really. I don't feel connected to that. You know what I mean? Like, something so obvious.
Yeah.
I would be devastated.
Yeah.
And she's known to be like a diva.
Yeah. You're right.
Whoa-oh-oh.
Woke up today feeling the way I always do. Whoa-oh-oh. Hungry for something that I can eat. Then I hear that beat. The
rhythm of town starts pulling me down. It's like a message from high above. Oh, holding me out to the stars and the streets that I love.
Good morning, Baltimore. Every day's like an open door. Every night is a fantasy. Every sound's like a symphony. I love you, Baltimore. I've never been.
You were doing so good.
I don't think I've ever
been.
Maybe
you should be Tracy. And someday when I take to the floor, the world's gonna wake up and see Baltimore and me.
We need a saxophone.
No, you're so Penny Pingleton. If they put together.
I'm so Penny Pingleton.
Okay, if they put together like an influencer cast to do Hairspray, because you're like, that's fun to cast.
Okay.
Link Larkin.
Link Larkin. I need to think of like influencers.
I mean, And is it influencers who are actors or just like straight up like YouTubers, podcasters?
Straight up or YouTubers, podcasters. So okay, Link Larkin, like Nick Vile.
No. And I was honestly going to say like Greg Sulkin, but then he's like an actor.
No. But like he's also an influencer. So he could be right. He could be it.
Is that good?
But he's also an actor. But sure.
Okay. Greg Sulkin. Me and you as Tracy and Penny, obviously.
Amber.
Oh, Amber. Like someone blonde and just like perfect looking.
Yeah.
Lauren Elizabeth.
Yeah. It's a TNN rendition of Hairspray.
This would be fun. They should do like influencer productions.
That would like, I don't think anything would garner like more.
Negative feedback
than that.
100%. But not if we knock it out of the park. You could do it.
I mean, I could do it.
I'm not worried.
I can do anything I set my mind to. I firmly believe that.
I believe that too.
It's just a matter of setting my mind to it.
Right. And like deciding, do I want to set my mind to this or not?
Is this worth setting my mind to?
Such a good call.
Are you ready for our next story?
Only if it's a story that's brought to you by Away.
It is.
Oh, thank
God. It's actually the perfect sponsor for this next story because these next people are going away.
Away is a modern lifestyle brand that creates thoughtful products for every traveler and every kind of trip. They started with the perfect suitcase, crafted with features that make travel more seamless, and now, when travel looks more different than ever before, you can always count on Away's range of suitcases, bags, and accessories whenever you take that trip. Whether you're just going to the corner store or a weekend away, we are navigating the current reality of travel, but no matter what your destination or style, Away's suitcases, bags, and accessories come in a variety of colors, sizes, and materials to suit your needs. So all of their suitcases, if you have an Away suitcase, you know that they're just like supreme. I have two, and they're the best thing. I've not used a single other suitcase since I got my Away suitcase. They're designed to last a lifetime, they have durable exteriors, and they can withstand even the roughest of baggage handlers. Each suitcase comes with an interior organization system that includes a built-in compression pad to help you pack more, and a hidden and removable laundry bag that separates your dirty clothes. By the way, every Away, it's just like a little like bag of tricks. Did you know, first of all, I didn't for so long didn't know that there was a laundry bag inside, and it's the best thing ever. And they all come with a, it's like a magic eraser, so if your bag gets like scuffed up, you just buff it out. It's so smart. And the wheels are 360-degree spinner wheels that guarantee a smooth roll even in the most hectic of airports. And they're available in different materials like polycarbonate, aluminum, and durable nylon. And they have a ton of different sizes and colors. And it's a TSA-approved combination lock, so all of your things stay safe. If any part of your suitcase breaks, their standout customer service team will arrange to have it fixed or replaced. And there's a 100-day trial on everything Away makes. So you take the product out on the road, live with it, love with it, travel with it. And you have 100 days to decide if it's for you or not. And you can return any non-personalized item for a full refund during that period. So they also offer free shipping and returns on any order within the contiguous US, UK, Europe, and Canada. Start your 100-day free trial and shop the entire Away lineup of travel essentials, including their best-selling suitcases at awaytravel.com/toast. That's awaytravel.com/toast.
Thank you. So these ladies are going to need their Away suitcases because Dorinda Medley and Vicky Gumbelson have been tapped for a Real Housewives mashup series.
So it's like another All-Stars.
Another All-Stars, except this is like the B team.
Literally.
So they're doing another crossover series with all Housewives, but they're all former Housewives. So we have Dorinda.
Oh, that's sad.
Vicky, Jill Zarin, Brandi Glanville, Phaedra Parks, Taylor Armstrong, Eva Marcel.
Okay, honestly, it sounds like it's not really a B team, but it's like the best of the best of former Housewives.
Right, but emphasis on the former.
Yeah, so it's still not as prestigious. I mean, that one with like Kenya, Cynthia, Kyle, who else went? Who from New York went? Luann?
Ramona.
That one is going to be so fucking sick.
You know what? It will be, but I wouldn't be surprised if this B team is better because they have nothing to lose.
And so much to prove.
And so much to gain if they do a really good job. If, like, they become the fan favorite from this series, like, they could get back on their own show.
I mean, honestly, I've been saying this for a while. I do feel like a pretty decent improvement to the flailing Real Housewives of New York franchise would be to bring Jill Zarin back. But she has said, and I don't know if it's true, but she said she wouldn't do it.
She said she wouldn't?
Yeah, on Watch Rabbins Live. That's when they were doing all that special.
Why stuff. Wouldn't she?
She just said she wouldn't.
But she would do this.
She said she wants to be cast as a friend of.
But she would do this.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a one-time thing, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. It seems like a heavier lift.
I have to imagine she would love to do it.
Yeah.
And by the way, I rewatched Real Housewives of New York during COVID. And I think the narrative around Jill Zarin is so unfair. Like, she put the show on the map. She was everything at the time. Like, so funny. She didn't drink. So she was really just, like, making the show work naturally. Like, she wasn't just getting wasted and saying crazy things. Her marriage was so great. She really laid it all out with Allie. Like, I'm sure Allie's traumatized from all that stuff. But, like, she was.
Yeah.
And I think she was an amazing reality star. And she got fucked because she made some bad decisions when it came to the whole Bethany thing. And the world took Bethany's side. But it's been so long. I do think, like, the show could actually really benefit from her. She was great.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It could benefit from really anything that they try.
Anything would help at this point.
Anything would help. So I'm excited for whatever this is, whenever it comes out. Obviously, we'll see the other one first.
Yeah.
Just really an interesting programming choice.
Yeah, when is that other one coming out? They filmed it a while ago.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably in the winter.
And you think it's like 6 episodes? Like, how many?
Yeah, I don't think it's long. I think it's super short.
Me too.
I wonder what goes down.
No, I know. I feel like we can... It's going
to
be great.
Yeah, it will be. Now, our fifth and final story, which is going to lead into our TV recap. It is the Love Island finale. We have our winners. Spoiler alert, from here on out, the winners of Love Island Season 3 are Olivia and Corey. You know what? When they were down to the final two, and it was Will and Kiera and Olivia and Corey...
I was begging
for it to be Will and Kiera.
Because you want
to
know why? There's definitely some toxic things going on in that relationship. But a lot of relationships are toxic, and that is still a real relationship. I did think it was odd how, like, in this episode, they were just, like, talking about this whole experience and how they never would have met each other. And he's like, can you believe we live 15 minutes away from each other and we never would have known? It's like, you do?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, that's part of the theory as to why they... had met before. And I guess if producers think that they met before, then they, like, really couldn't have won. But, like, at least Will and Kiera, there is love there. Even if it's not on both sides and it's not exactly as balanced as it should be, and who knows what's going to happen after this, like, she has fallen in Love Island. Olivia has amateurly acted her way through the whole season. I saw a post in Toast After Dark that, like, some people have fallen for the charade and they really think Olivia and Corey...
I believe that some people have fallen for it.
I can't believe it. I really cannot. The whole episode was Olivia and Corey propaganda.
Yes.
And trying to, like, show us this love story.
And justice for Corey, because he's not acting. I think he's, like, so happy with Olivia. And the
Because if he were acting... he would have taken all the money for himself.
Of course.
As, by the way, I wish he did.
First of all, he should have ran with the money, first of all. But he can't see what we see. Second of all, once Olivia opened her envelope and she had the $0, I knew it was over. Because, of course, he was going to share it with her. Because he really is in love with her. Whereas, like, honestly, if Olivia had gotten the $100,000, she might have taken it for herself.
I know you think that. I think she still would have split it. Because I think she really cares what people think about her. And she doesn't want to prove everyone right that she was acting this whole time. She wants to go out, like, you know, like... the person she's pretending to be the whole time. She's not going to let the match. It's worth $50,000 to her for people to think that, like, her and Corey are in love and that she's a good person. And I'm sure that she is a good person. I think she just, like, saw.
She got caught up in this thing and just, like, wanted to see it through and stay on the show and get the Instagram followers.
And she just got, like, so lucky that everyone else was a real couple, dropped away, and we're sort of, like, left with these two. So it all started, the propaganda, I mean, it's been going on for weeks, but it all started at the challenge last night, which I know you fast-forwarded through.
I did, because there was so much TV on, and I find the challenges so boring.
But my theory was confirmed when they had to do all this stuff to get, you know, whoever had the shortest time in the wedding challenge would get the honeymoon suite. And there's three cakes that they each have to go through with their mouths to find two flamingos in three cakes to put them as wedding toppers. And Bailey and Jeremy went, and Bailey is literally headbutting her head against this cake to crack it open to get a flamingo out.
Like, she wants the hideaway real bad.
She wants the hideaway so badly. And I just love Bailey and Jeremy so much. Like, love them.
Jeremy went from being my absolute least favorite, not understanding why nobody would save him, to literally being so upset that he came in third and really feeling like a lot of the results had to have been rigged.
Oh, by the way, the thing is rigged. I need to see evidence that it's not, mm-hmm. because it is. Mm-hmm. Like, the way that it went, that's just not what happened. I really think so many people voted for Bailey and Jeremy just because they were the least worst couple.
And they, towards the last couple episodes, they had the most growth. And, like, their editing, I don't know if it was the editing, but I was, like, getting really, like, in my feels. I'm like, they're so great. But then the second
Jeremy was finally giving us what we've been asking him. Yes. Because, like, he finally felt comfortable. And, like, now I don't fault him this whole time for being sort of friendly with girls when they're day two of being a couple.
No, totally. And the second I turned on last night's episode, I knew that Olivia and Corey were winning every time. They just got like a different kind of edit, a different music, that whole thing.
Back to the challenge. So Bailey is literally headbutting this cake. She wants it so bad. Olivia and Corey get to the stage of having to go through the cake, and Olivia's standing there while Corey does it. She literally takes one bite out of the side of the cake. Like she.
So how did they win?
I don't know. Like they didn't show us anyone's time. Rigged. Like. They didn't show us anyone's time, and it's just like at the end, Olivia and Corey won because like the network needed to give them this honeymoon suite date. And then the next morning when they're like standing out on the balcony, like looking out like a bachelor couple, like propaganda. Also, when they were between the sheets in the hideaway suite, I called Claudia.
Daddy called me.
You don't understand. I'm literally like pointing out every single thing. So it's nighttime scene. We have the three couples in the villa who are all pulling up the covers and getting frisky.
Oh, yeah. First of all, there was like nobody in the main room. So there was only three beds. They were all pretty far apart. Like everyone fucked.
Everyone was getting frisky as fuck. And like we saw some of it and then the covers went up, you know, like Bailey and Jeremy. Wow.
Yeah.
Cut to Olivia and Corey, who immediately pull the covers up. We don't see shit between them. And then I believe that they were under the covers like this, just trying to make it look like something.
And by the way, in the morning when everyone asked Olivia, she didn't say, like Shannon told the girls that she had sex in the hideaway. Like they're all best friends.
No, in the morning when she had to say had how fun. The villa went, like, I'm sorry, her mask was slipping.
Yeah, we had fun. The thing is that like the episode really made me really like all the couples except Olivia and Corey, like even Will and Kira, like I could get past it. Like they're toxic, whatever, but I don't know. They are a couple. And Charlie and Alana, I was like, oh my God, like obsessed. Like just the episode was just edited to make you root for everyone except for Olivia and Corey. And when they said Jeremy and Bailey in third place, like I knew it was over. I'm like, are you fucking serious?
Oh my God.
I screamed.
I was so heartbroken and shocked. And I just had to sit there and like take it and watch it go down. There's nothing we could do. It was so upsetting. Like everything is just a lie. And so
I just feel like, first of all, it's so crazy we were left with four couples and 50% of them got here 1 week ago. Like that's the craziest part. Like I think Will and Kira, no matter how we feel about them, they were always going to be in the top four. They were a legit couple. And it is Love Island, it's not Friendship Island. So like even though Trina and Andre went home and I was mad, like they had no
it's Love Island and I love Trina.
Yeah, right, totally. It was just so frustrating that we ended like all the other castmates, like Cachet and Trina and Giovanni and Shannon and Cinco, they were all on live. I'm like, I would rather watch this live than this episode. Like, I just love so many of the people who are no longer there. And just like seeing Cash and Cinco, even though I do blame Cash for her and Cinco not being in the final four because she chose Charlie, even though she knew her feelings for Cinco. Just like the fact that Cash and Cinco are together at home and not in the villa is so stupid. Obviously Shannon and Josh couldn't be there, but like we needed them. Like it just felt like such a stitched together finale.
It was so bad. Like what a waste of the whole, like all of our time and everything invested, because I just feel defrauded. I do. I want to see. I just wish. I don't know. I don't know how they could even prove to us that it was true.
I know.
And not that they care.
Did you also feel like the whole money splitting thing was so informal? Like nobody would ever actually take it because Ariel was like, oh, what are you going to do? Like it wasn't even like a official ceremony. He was like, obviously, like it was just a conversation.
Yeah, that's always how it is. It would just be like,
has anyone ever taken the money?
Not on US. Okay. But I don't know about UK. But it would be like if someone came in here, like say Will won. And he's the kind of person where it's like, is he being genuine this whole time? Mm-hmm. And say he was actually not a genuine person. I'm not saying that he is. But like that's where it would be like
the answer.
He could keep the money. Mm-hmm. And it would just go to show that like every feeling that you had about him
was right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he really thought he was winning. Like the smile on his face when Ariel was like going 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He thought he was winning so hard. And first of all, I've been like reading Reddit, but I guess I've been missing out because Love Island Twitter's so funny. You told me to go read it. Mm-hmm. I was cackling. First of all, everyone is like, feels like we've been frauded by Olivia and Corey. Like they're not buying them. No. And that makes sense why they took all those tweets, because people on Twitter are so invested and they don't believe Olivia and Corey. Like, no. Or Olivia.
Olivia. Yeah.
I really stand by that. Corey is a nice guy and I do feel like he loves Olivia.
No. And also when they were in their confessional after the challenge and he put the cupcake in her eye, like you could see for a second, she was like, I'm just saying, watch it all back, you guys. Watch it all back. You could see for a second that she was like so angry, but then she had to like mask up.
Right.
And be like, like, And then she did her like scream thing, the cachet thing.
That she stole from cachet, yeah.
Yeah. And Claudia, I'm just telling you, I see through it all.
That's so funny.
You can't fool me. You can't.
Do they have a reunion?
No, because this was 2 days ago. What's to reunite about?
With everyone else. Like,
they don't.
They should.
They could.
Because Amy and Wes are fucking pissed.
But like a lot of reunions, it's like, okay, what has happened since then in the last 6 months? This was 2 days ago.
I don't know. I just feel like a reunion wouldn't be the least interesting thing.
No, but like also like everyone's like just a little disgruntled. Like, and also there's not that.
I also just felt like they were ready to go the fuck home. Everyone was like, I don't even care if I win. I need to get out of here.
There's not that much like sabotage on the show. So it's not like things were
drama.
Aside from like Will, like Kira finally watching the footage. It's not like people are seeing things that like. Now they need to hash it out. Everyone really is like nice to each other, and who they are to their faces is who they are behind their backs.
Can we also just really briefly talk about the dresses? Because they were so fucking heinous. Except for Bailey's was like not terrible. Somebody said that in the pictures from last night that Olivia looked like Corey's mom. Like that dress was terrible. Alana, that dress was atrocious. And Kira's was probably the worst. Like so like prom dress from the set from the 90s. Like, this is the CBS budget. It was atrocious. And even all... Jeremy looks like a waiter. Like, everyone's... Will's, like, tuxedo. It was just terrible. Like, everyone... They looked like clowns out there dancing, giving their fake wedding vows. Like, it was clown shit, okay? The outfits were atrocious. And I just feel like whoever dressed Alana, like, really did her dirty.
Yeah.
It was such an ugly dress.
You saw her pick it out herself.
Yeah, sure.
I just want to say another moment where the mask was slipping for Olivia. when she, like, right before they announced the winners and they all had to, like, say some shit again, Olivia was talking about, like, her journey, and she literally couldn't even muster up, like, one thing. She said something nice about Corey, like, this amazing man, but, like, nothing about her feelings for him. It was like, this journey has been so amazing. I met so many amazing people. Like, I've learned so much about myself. I met this amazing man, but, like, nothing, like, and I'm, you know... Nothing about their relationship.
Yeah. No, she was just, like, being really general.
She couldn't even muster up, like...
A
nice fake thing.
Yeah. I'm just really excited to see how this plays out IRL. Like, see, Olivia, you're right. Like, Olivia is obsessed with, like, being well-liked. She wanted to be, like, popular with everyone. So how long will she, like, realistically let this charade last? She lives in Alaska. Where does he live?
I don't know.
There's just so much going on.
No. And I think... I really am curious to see where Jeremy and Bailey go from here.
Me too.
And he lives in New York.
Yeah, he does.
And where does she live?
I don't know. Jeremy's so interesting. Like,
it's been a roller coaster, but like that's how you should feel. Like people, like he's really growing so much. I really think they deserve to win. Or Will and
Kira. And their vows were hysterical. Not you getting everyone in the villa to talk like this. Yeah. It was so cute.
It was really
and
cute.
I'm a little afraid that Bailey likes him more than he likes her. Because I do think he likes her, but like she's like obsessed.
I know, but I think he just plays it close to the vest.
Okay. So it was whatever. Like, I really enjoyed watching Love Island for the first time. I do feel like I chose, like, probably the worst season to start on because, like, it was so, so, so good until it wasn't.
Yeah.
So it is what it is.
It is what it is.
So that's our first part of our TV recap, but it does not end here. And the TV recap segment is brought to you by Canva Pro. Making content is an essential part of what we do to keep our business going. But it hasn't always been a seamless creative process. If you scroll down on some of our Instagram posts from like the early days of The Toast, it's just sad.
Don't do it.
But ever since we found Canva Pro, we can design anything like a pro on any device. Canva Pro is a design platform that empowers you to create and share stunning content in just a few clicks. Whether you're a design professional or just getting started, designing with Canva Pro is amazingly fast and fun. You can choose from thousands of professionally made templates that are so easy to customize, and all you have to do is simply drag and drop or start from scratch. Canva Pro comes with an endless amount of premium fonts, photos, videos, and so much more that add personality and edge to whatever you're designing. So you can use shapes, fonts, there's images, there's so many things. There's free stuff. There's stuff you pay for. It's so premium. If you have a business and you're constantly making content for social or for your website, really implore you to check out Canva Pro. It literally keeps this business running. We're built on Canva Pro.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing, creating, and organizing your designs as a group has never been easier because Canva Pro helps you stay on top of team projects all in one place. And with their content planner, you'll save time planning, creating, and posting social media content. My favorite feature of Canva Pro is probably just like the endless bounds of assets. Like they have cute little dancing arrows, like just things to make your Instagram cute because it's 2021. Like, you got to get with the program. So design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use our promo code. Just go to canva.me/toast to get your free 45-day extended trial. That's canva.me/toast. canva.me/toast. canva.me/toast.
Thank you, Claudia.
Okay. Let's go to White Lotus next.
Okay.
Everyone was waiting, the big reveal, like who gets murdered. And so now that we know, and last night's episode, you know, everything happened.
And it's going to be a spoiler at some point.
Yeah. First of all, if you haven't finished it, turn this off now. Because obviously Armand ends up being the one who gets killed by Shane. It appeared to have been an accident. Yes. He doesn't get arrested or anything because this man was on the premises taking a dump in his room.
No, and like trespassing in his room.
Yeah. I think just before we dive in, we really need to talk about the shit.
Okay.
Because I was talking to my friend Abe.
Okay.
And he like thinks like it was a live action shit. Like it was.
No, I could see it coming from the back cheek. Like, you know.
You thought it was special effects. Like.
No, I'm not. I don't even think it was that special. I think there was like someone feeding the shit like from like, you know, from behind. It's like. I can't really do it, but like.
Like a push pop.
No, yeah, like it was coming from his like side of his cheek on the other side that we
couldn't see. I know what you're saying.
It was just more of a visual illusion, I felt.
It was so wild. I've honestly never seen, and it was up there with the pig and the prime minister fucking.
No,
like,
no,
I
no,
did
no.
not need to see someone taking a dump.
No, it was really crazy.
And then the dump in the suitcase.
No, I thought they were going to spare us a dump in suitcase.
I thought we were just going to like see his face, like, you know, making a few pushing sounds, like, not get the ass and the duty coming out. Like, it was so vulgar.
I agree. It's like so disgusting and unnecessary, which I don't know why they feel the need to do stuff like that, I guess, because like we're talking about it the next day.
To be honest, it made the show 10 times more interesting. I was losing my mind, like screaming
when
it was happening.
The shit was happening, I was like averting my eyes. I was like, this is disgusting. And then I was laughing so hard.
When he found it.
When Shane found it, and he had to call downstairs and be like, my wife doesn't shit on the floor. Like,
there's a turd in my room.
I hadn't laughed that hard that the entire show.
Okay, have you ever seen that Wanda Sykes stand-up?
Yes.
There is a turd in my car. I used to watch that when I was in high school all the time. If you ever see, just Google Wanda Sykes turd. It is the funny, I think it's a stand-up bit. I don't know. It's so fucking funny. It reminded me so much
of that.
That's
a good call. Yeah. So I was like already feeling, I just like where it was going. And I mean, not seeing the shit, but like just Shane's reaction to it was just so funny. And then he kills Armand. It is a little like anticlimactic.
Yes.
Also like, I don't know. I feel like in some shows that we watch, like someone gets stabbed a million times and they like still are fighting their way out. And Armand was stabbed on his right on the right side, like not by the heart even. So
yeah. Well, the thing is that if you stab someone, you're not supposed to pull it out because then all the blood comes out and that's how you die. You lose blood. So if he had left the knife in there and like got an ambulance, he probably would have lived.
Got it.
But most people don't know that. Just me.
Oh, that's good that you know that.
Okay,
so,
but can we talk about the show like at a glance?
At a glance.
Because honestly, I felt like there were so many kind of dumb storylines that like I thought would get resolved. Like everything happens for a reason, but like there were just all these things.
Aside
like,
from the woman having the baby, what else?
The woman having the baby, that man who came and sat next to Jennifer Coolidge at the pool, like what? I was like, what's new character? Even the son who like fell in love with the ocean, like I just didn't understand.
By the way,
all
I just want to say, I called it weeks ago that he had the most character development.
Agreed. And when he ran off the plane, I was happy for him.
No, and like even when even before they were still on vacation, he was like coming back to the room with this joie de vivre, and like he spent his day like rowing in the morning, scuba diving in the afternoon. When he arrived, he
connecting
was just,
with
like,
his father
on his Nintendo the whole time, I was really proud of him.
And so I just didn't understand like the point of so many of these characters and so many of these storylines. And I don't, but then at the end, I understood what the show's kind of message was. It's like all these rich people just show up on an island, ruin the lives of everyone who works there, and then just go on with their day. And the people who work there have to take this emotional burden. And then the next day, do it all again with new annoying people. I totally get
it. And
but
so,
the show was boring.
I agree. Also, like, major justice for Belinda. Like, that Belinda. Was just...
Belinda. When Rachel's just going on and on about this, like, shut up,
no,
Rachel.
And, like, Rachel was just the fucking worst. Like,
yeah.
You couldn't even root for her. And, like, what she was trying to say, it's like, I'm even with you.
It's valid.
I feel alone even when I'm with you. Like, very sad for Rachel. Yeah. But, like, just, she doesn't know who she is. She doesn't know what she wants. And,
did
like,
she meet her husband on the wedding day? Like, How did she only find... He was an asshole. Like, and you could see within 1 second. So, like, you dated this man, went through the wedding process, and, like, now you're upset, and then you're just going to go back? I didn't understand their ending at all.
I guess she decided to stay with him, maybe because he needed, like, a shoulder after he accidentally killed someone.
Right.
Maybe because she, like, just doesn't know what the fuck she wants. That's what I think it's more of. But she just, yeah, she doesn't know who she is or what she wants. And, like, figure it out.
Totally. And then I saw someone commented on the toast, and I don't know if they were joking, but it made actually a really good call that that guy that Jennifer Coolidge ends up with is, like, COVID patient zero.
Oh.
Because, like, we never... What was wrong with him? He was coughing the whole time.
I saw that. I didn't think that... I thought that was just, like, a bad joke.
He brings it back to California.
No, like, no. But that's, like, not how COVID started. And... Oh.
I thought it was an interesting take.
No, my take is that he's, like, very much like Brooks, like Vicky and Brooks, and he's, like, faking this illness so that, like, Jennifer Coolidge will pay all of his medical bills, and she's about to be swindled again. And when she said to Belinda, I can't, like, have another transactional relationship, it's like, well, you're about to have one, getting a house in Aspen and, like, doing all these things for this guy. Like, she's just about to be, like, taken advantage of.
Oh, that totally went over my head. That's a, like, really good
call. She
thought
she was breaking her pattern, but she's actually about to get even deeper.
Oh, and, like, she really could have spent all that money on Belinda, because, like, I would go to Belinda's holistic spa.
100%.
I feel like she could really heal me.
100%.
I just really did feel like the show was so overhyped.
Yeah.
And so slow. And at the end of the day, boring.
Yeah.
And do you know who created the show?
Ned Schneebly.
Mr. Ned Schneebly. The guy from...
the actual Ned Schneebly.
Yeah, the actor from School of Rock. He's the creator of the show, which is just an interesting factoid. So all in all, I just did feel like I got on the train because, like, everyone was on it. And even from the moment I started the show, I just, like, thought it was slow and boring. And I'm glad I stuck with it because I do feel like it was, like, an interesting take. But just from, like, a cinematography's point of view, like, it was a boring show.
Yeah, I agree. And I enjoyed watching it while I was watching it, but it's just, like, we can all agree nothing happened.
And, like, we never got an update with Kai.
Yeah.
Like, did he go to prison?
It's not good.
Yeah. And, like, did she ever get her jewelry back?
She did.
Because Armand said he would get it back, but then Armand died.
In the airport, she was like,
wearing it?
She was, like, I think they were, like, marveling at her bracelets.
Okay.
I believe. That's what I thought I saw.
Yeah. And, like, honestly, Paula, like, just... having to be on a trip with them, like, she was just, like, so Ms. the whole time, and that whole family was just Ms. fucking vibes. The daughter, what's her name, Olivia?
Yeah,
the fucking woke.
She was the woke.
Except for Quinn, the son, he was kind of everything.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, but, like, he's literally in Hawaii without a cell phone.
I know, like, what is
the air is on? Do you feel it?
No, not
maybe
yet.
It's a mirage again.
Yeah, like, what is he gonna do for living situation, work? I mean,
how is he gonna get in contact with his family? He doesn't have a phone.
Yeah.
It's, like, low-key dangerous.
Yeah.
But I love the kind of wanderlust spirit he currently possesses.
Yeah, no, and that he's, like, interested in the world around him.
Did you see when, like, she told him to get ready for dinner, Connie Britton? He was in his little kitchen cot reading a book on, like, marine biology or, like, the ocean.
No, I didn't see that.
Because he wasn't on his computer, he wasn't on his Nintendo. He was reading a book, and it looked like to be about ocean life.
No, like... I want to spin off about him.
100%. Like, do they end up rowing around?
Will they make it to the island?
Where do they go? The Polynesians or whatever.
Yes.
Do they make it? We'll see.
We'll see.
So closing the chapter on that and opening up The Real Housewives of Potomac, which last night's episode, you know, I'm getting, like, deja vu from last season because I feel like currently, until Ashley actually gets to the house and spills the beans that Giselle was bringing up the rumors about Eddie, like, we're kind of in this standstill, and, like, I just need her to get there. And it reminds me of last season when Candace, like, needs to tell Ashley about the Michael Darby stuff. It's like the catalyst, and I'm like, just get there already. So I thought we were gonna get there tonight. Ashley doesn't even arrive until next episode,
right? But what's crazy is it looked like in next week's episode, like, Ashley is, like, getting a lot of shit from people for bringing it up, but, like, I hope that's not where we're
headed. I think that was just editing because okay. I refuse, like, it's fully Giselle,
but also it was interesting to see Giselle trying to bring it up. Like, she's obviously going about it in, like,
multiple
steps.
Ways.
She's never going to be so overt as to be like, you're acting this way because of this, that, and the other thing. But, like, she's, like, She's very conniving.
The fact that Robin and Giselle are spending countless hours thinking about what Wendy's wearing is shocking to me. One, because if Giselle spent literally 1/8 of the time thinking about what she wears, maybe she wouldn't be like the joke of the group when it comes to fashion, first of all. Second of all, Robin, your kid's failing school, you're struggling so much with your marriage and your mental health. Stop worrying about Wendy. Now, I agree, there is something different with Wendy, and I don't think it's this big conspiracy theory. I think that, and I like how they're like, for the whole time that I've known you, you've only known her since last year.
Right.
Like,
and also, Wendy reminded us that she was 2 months postpartum. Yes. And so I totally didn't put that together.
Me
so it kind of all does make sense. We don't know who Wendy was before she had kids. And maybe she's, you know, finally getting back to feeling like most herself. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like they're judging her without cause.
And so jealous. She looks amazing.
And when Giselle used the word substance, like, oof, last season you had substance, implying that this season you don't, it was just all wrong.
So I want to say that, like, there really is something very interesting happening with Wendy, because Wendy's obviously turning hard and fast on Robin and Giselle, which is great. I love the cottage. I would fucking stay in the cottage, even though it's a piece of shit. Like, the fact that Candace booked this trip, knowing that, like, what four women are saying in a palace and three women are staying in like a Holiday Inn is really not cool.
No, and also, lest we not forget that Wendy is Candace's friend.
Yes. So that's what I was going to say.
Candace brought Wendy on.
But Candace is standing up for Wendy when it comes to Robin and Giselle in her confessionals and even in the room. And even though I literally despise Candace, I do think that if she stands with Wendy and like the whole group dynamic kind of changes, because this like threesome in the cottage is like kind of everything, and then Candace joins them and Mia and Karen, like,
and Ashley,
and of course Ashley, I do think it could finally be like this Robin and Giselle isolating moment that it needs to be, because they've always been like the cool group and they're like getting all the new girls and it's annoying. But Wendy is like a really interesting target for them, because Wendy brings Candace with her. Hopefully.
But Candace didn't even bring Wendy into the house.
I know, but I don't think Wendy's thinking about it as much as you are, because Candace was defending Wendy this entire episode, both in the house and in her confessionals. Like, she stands with Wendy.
Okay.
Just think about
that. That's good to remember. Also, I do really feel for Robin when she talks about
Her seasonal depression
and like her personal life. And I think she's like starting to realize that it's more like, I think all this time she probably was just like being hard on herself, like, why can't I do this, as opposed to like, no, it's
getting herself help for herself.
Yeah. And just like being easier on herself and realizing like it's out of her control a little bit. And I just thought it was a really nice conversation between all the women, and like how
except for Giselle
and how they could all relate to her, and like, you know, whether at what point in their life they were going through something similar. And like, I just feel like that's the sort of
conversation,
female like camaraderie that just what helps. Happens on all of these shows once in a while, and it's like, yeah, that's really nice.
Of course. And like, could you die from like how fucking nasty Giselle was being, like, as if you could just fix depression. Like,
I agree, but Giselle is Robin's actual friend, like, yeah, real true friend. And sometimes, like, and I guess Giselle's version of
tough helping love
is like tough love and just like speaking her mind. So I actually think Giselle and Robin are close enough for Giselle to talk to her, to say that to her. But I think for the rest of the women, it's just like looking like Giselle being an asshole again.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to see all these women having more compassion for Robin than even her own best friend, even if that is, you know, Giselle's way of being compassionate. Giselle is just so difficult to like. And honestly, fucking Escala, I very much doubted her. I did, and I think I underestimated her. But she's like, well, since you're asking everyone so many questions, do you mind if I ask you a question? A very reasonable thing to say. Like, what's the status of your relationship? And of course, Giselle, queen of like poking people, asking questions, going too far. Well, I'm not going to talk about that right now in front of certain people, but if you want to ask me privately, like, she's so predictable at this point. It's like sad.
It's sad. I agree. Like, she's just full of,
and the fact that Karen Huger can like sit around at all these, like, knowing what she knows about Giselle and like how she feels about Giselle, and just sit, and she's been like so quiet and reserved and not like saying anything, she's a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would be up in arms.
I just hope her time will come.
It's coming. I don't want to jinx it, but with the Eddie stuff, you turned out to be exactly who everyone said you were going to be. Mia's like being kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, she's not being Karen strong enough, you know? She's being very much like a mediator. Like, you don't know Giselle, like, at all. And like, it's kind of disappointing, because like, did you see her response on Twitter last week when someone was like, how could you just let like Robin and Giselle kick you out of like the room? She's like, well, you know, some people don't get nice things that much, so it's nice to let them experience it. Like, I have nice bedrooms and things at home, which, yeah, is such a good response.
Right.
I'm disappointed in her lack of taking a side, even though, like, I don't think people should take sides, but, like,
right now, she's,
yeah.
No, but I think, listen, she's new. Actually, Giselle and Robin have been nothing but nice to her, really. And sometimes you have to see for yourself. It must feel good to, like, come into the group and these big mean girls who, like, even Karen, like, can't get along with, like, they like you and they want to be friends with you. And, like, she has no reason to take a side right now. I'm sure eventually she will. And based on that tweet, it's, you know.
Yeah, it's already happened.
It's Team Monique.
Team fucking Monique. Watching these episodes, just, like, knowing Monique would put everyone in their place.
It's so frustrating.
Especially Giselle. Like, it's so frustrating knowing what we could have had.
Yeah. So I think Mia will come around. I'm not. We don't need her yet, like, because she's just too new. Like, if she just were to blindly support Karen, it just would look like blind support.
And that's, like, kind of what Wendy did with Candace last season, and it was, like, it was made me not like Wendy.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I do feel like tides are turning. And I'm just curious, because, like, you know, Wendy Giselle and Robin are, like, in the house with the cool girls. Like, does America support the estate or the cottage? I'm firmly team cottage.
I didn't look last night, but I believe Team Cottage.
Let me know in the comments over here on YouTube. Like, are we Team Cottage? Like, it's so obvious to me. Like, they were in this, like, shitty little cottage, but they're having so much fun. And Karen is, like, I love how Karen wasn't even bothered by, like, the fact that her room was, like, 30 times grosser than the other estate, because she's like, this room provides peace. This room is a sanctuary. Like, that's how you know you're with toxic people, when you would rather take, like, the shitty ass room with people you feel safe with than, like, be in a palace with Robin and Giselle.
Yeah.
Like, I felt that so hard.
Yeah, I agree.
So I do believe next week is when Ashley finally arrives. I thought she was going to make it there tonight and start stuff, but she didn't. And if Ashley gets blamed, like, I'm fucking done.
Yeah, I'm fucking done. But I do think Wendy will be able to.
Wendy's smart.
See through it.
Yeah. Except, like, I just really can't. Like, Wendy's really, really grown on me, except when she talks about her candle company.
Well, she didn't talk about it last night.
I know.
So that's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Other thing that I watched this weekend was OBX.
Oh, right.
I'm going to go to my text messages with you because it has pretty much all of my thoughts.
So I, in the beginning, was almost going to stop watching because when they're in the Bahamas, it's just so stupid. But when they all meet up in Charleston and then go back to OBX and, like, the gang's back together, it gets so much better. That's what I'll say.
Okay. We text so much. But it became
so infuriating to start to root for the Pogues because they're so dumb. Kiara.
So dumb. Okay. First.
By the way, I just want to say, like, you kept calling me, like, after every, like, dumb thing that happened. And I did the exact same thing to Margo at the exact same time. I said I was done watching when Kiara, they finally get the footage of the murder. And she's like, murderer.
No. This is what I said. I can't take it seriously after Kiara yelled murderer from the rooftop and caused them to lose all their footage. They need to kick her out of the friend group for that. If they don't, I don't know if I can keep watching. Not only did they not kick her out of the friend group, but I just want to say, they dragged Greg. Was that the name of the pilot?
No, it's like Devin or something.
No, it's like Darren? Grayson.
Whatever, the pilot.
They dragged the pilot out to me. Like, they gave him the
call.
They got him killed. They took a video of it. They lost the footage. And what's Gavin. So crazy. Gavin. And what's so crazy is, like, when they were blaming each other for, like, who made the camera drop, they never once even said for Kiara for yelling murderer.
No, they're like, you kicked it. I'm like, well, Kiara was the reason we were fleeing.
You guys wouldn't have it to flee. You could have waited until he left the scene, Ward, and then you would have had this footage and it would have been fucking over.
It was so stupid. I wanted to die. Then when they get back and
I said,
what?
These Pogues are morons. I'm about to root for Ward.
Totally. Like, they were making it so hard to root for them. Like, they wanted to save John P, but they were literally just sabotaging themselves left, right, and center.
Left, right, and center. Then all of a sudden, Kiara has to ask her parents if she can go to Charleston. They literally never go home. Mm-hmm. They are out days at a time. We never even don't even know who their parents are, and now she has to get permission to go to Charleston. Obviously, that was, like, leading up to, like, this storyline about her potentially going to boarding school, but, like, now the obstacle is asking your parents? Like,
totally.
What in the world?
Yeah.
Then at one point, I kind of shipped Topper and Sarah.
So I called Margo and I said the exact same thing because he ended up, like, showing his true colors, like, being a dick at the end. But up until that point, he was taking better care of Sarah than John B was. And honestly, like, Sarah's the reason for, like, Sarah and John B are the reason for, like, this entire mess. And at the end of the day, like, they really never could be together. Like, we had thought, because now we know that John B's dad is still alive, but we had thought that, like, Sarah's dad killed John B's dad, which is obviously, like, terrible, but, like, he is still her dad. So, like, it's just literally too complicated. And they're really not realistically ever going to be able to, like, be together.
And what is so crazy is their relationship is so strong. They're literally getting married when they're like fleeing the Bahamas with the police on their tail, like with nothing in this world. And they're like, they couldn't be in a better relationship. And the one minute they have a bit of peace because Ward dies, mm-hmm. quote unquote, they break up.
Yeah.
Like when it's finally good around them, they yeah, I guess maybe that's when they have to realize like the differences between them. And they don't even get to enjoy. Also, these Pogues, they're literally running from the police. Everyone wants to kill them. There's always this, that, and the other thing. They get, say, 3 hours of a reprieve, and they are just getting drunk.
Totally.
Like, and then someone comes to try and kill them.
And they're like high and, like, sinking in a tree.
And they're all high and drunk.
Yeah. Rafe is such a good actor. Like, he's so fucking crazy.
He's so fucking crazy.
It was really frustrating that, like, and I'm a family-oriented person, of course, but, like, the lengths that Ward and Rose were going to just to keep their family together.
No, when, it's like some you have an actual sociopath living under your roof and you have a young daughter. Why doesn't anyone care about Weezy?
Why doesn't anyone fucking care that Rafe tried to kill Sarah? Why didn't they tell anyone?
No, so this was what I sent to you next. I said, why don't Topper and Sarah go to the police and say Rafe attempted to murder her? They could have charges pressed against him. They could have had him behind bars before we ever knew that, spoiler alert, Ward was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So what the fuck? It's like,
why didn't she even tell her dad before he died? Like he was like trying to really like ignore the fact that Rafe is a serial killer. Like he didn't want really to admit it, but like Sarah's his favorite. So she goes over there thinking she could talk to her dad. She never told him Rafe tried to kill her.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? These people don't want to win.
No, but Sarah and Topper, it's not like it's Sarah and John B and John B's always like in trouble. Like they could have gone to the police, filed a complaint.
Topper witnessed.
And he could have been in jail for a few years.
Totally. Like it was so moronic.
And honestly, and then Rafe wouldn't have been able to get the cross.
I knew it was pretty predictable. Like the second that Rose opened the door and saw that letter, like I pretty much knew Ward was still alive, because first of all, he's like such a main character and he's too selfish. Like he has so much on the line, the cross, the gold. He's not just killing himself. Like he's coming, and he said like, you have to trust me. So I knew that he was going to be alive and I knew that he was going to be on that boat. But I do feel like I've been able to call some other things that, let's finish the recap. Okay. And then I want to tell you my call.
Then I also wanted to say that given the relationship that John B and Sarah had, they were like husband and wife. John B would have never talked to that random fucking girl at the party and like been flirting with her. Like that he didn't just break so up stupid. With the love of his life yesterday. Like
so stupid.
They go from being like these international wanted criminals to like actual dumb teenagers. Like with like,
you can't be both
dumb teenage problems. Like,
I mean, I think literally the worst decision they made the entire trip was getting into a shipping crate. Like so dangerous, you could die.
Yeah, no, they're, but everything was just like so stupid. Like I can't, how many times are they gonna find the treasure and leave it there while they go back and find something?
Leave someone to stand guard while you take him to the ambulance because he got stung by a wasp,
right? Or like I can't. Also, when Pope hopped on the back of Rafe's truck when Rafe was driving the cross and first he was dumping the body, and then I can't believe, like, he had the element of surprise. It was just Rafe versus Pope, like, round three, I guess they kept calling it. Like, okay, so he lost the fight, whatever. But when Rafe was dragging the body out to the water, why didn't Pope just walk around to the front and get in the car and drive?
Like, no, so the worst decisions made of all time.
I really was enjoying the show, but, like, the worst decisions made of all time.
No, it's, like, frustrating because you want to root for them, but they're so dumb. Like, they should lose.
Yeah.
Like, they're not making smart decisions.
No.
And I knew the sheriff was obviously going to investigate Ward, but, like, he can't just do that. He's a very powerful man. You have to be very secretive, make sure the kids are right. And he did right by them in the end.
Yeah, he did.
So, okay.
But if they just had the videotape.
Moronic.
It just all goes back to that.
So when they finally found the cross and that woman on the crutches, there's supposed to be some cloth in there that has, like, healing powers. It's so obvious that the cloth is John B's bandana that he's been wearing around his neck. I thought that the whole time, and then I saw other people thinking that on TikTok. Like, it's so obvious.
Okay, but like,
and there's a reason why he's been acting like a lunatic for 2 years with people with guns, and he's been fine. Like, that thing is protecting him.
That's interesting.
And Sarah had it around her neck when she was in the Bahamas. Like, it was protecting Sarah.
No, he gave it to her on the boat.
Whatever.
Because she got shot when she wasn't wearing it.
See?
But you think they had a bandana back in the
Holy
Grail times?
I was just thinking, like,
Jesus,
you know,
Jesus wore a bandana?
Like, in terms of style, it didn't really make sense. But John B's dad is alive. He said he knows where the cloth is. Of course it's John B's. Like, there's no way that it's not. I think they had bandanas in... When is a cross from?
Or it could have been like a, you know, a holy cloth, but they like
tie-dyed it
and stuff just so that it would blend in with modern society.
Yeah, no, there's something there. And then I also saw a conspiracy theory that say that that limbery blonde woman with the crutches is John B's mother.
I'm going to say no. They had also didn't John B's dad, who spoiler alert is alive at the end, didn't he say, you have to help my son? Didn't he say my son?
I don't remember.
We should go back and watch.
Yeah. Well, I'll send you the TikTok that said that it's John B's mom. I saw that on TikTok.
I mean, sure, that would like be another added element. But I think that just the dad being alive is enough.
I feel like Topper did not get like enough screen time. Like, he's a good character.
He is. But it's just really hard because when I see Sarah and Topper, I just want them to be together. But it's like obviously Sarah and John B are endgame.
No, for the show. Yeah. But like, I don't know. I'm not aboard that ship whatsoever. I think they're actually really toxic and they make the worst decisions and they always are getting in trouble together.
It's just so crazy that like the Pogues like are, you know, high school kids. They want it so badly. And they lost the gold and the cross.
No, and now they're on some island, like, going to make their own surfboards with... By the way, I love that woman from the Bahamas made a return on the boat. Cleo. Like, that was a great moment.
That was a great moment. But yeah, like, what's the plan? And their parents, like, think that they're dead. And they're just having the time of their life.
It was like, giving me vibes of the society. Like, when they go back and they show how, like, the parents back in the society think everyone's dead.
Yeah.
It's not an alternate universe, but it was just reminding me of that.
But, like, how are they going to get... I guess that maybe they'll build a boat on the island, then they can like row. Actually, no, they have a boat. They need to build oars because they don't have fuel.
Right. It was just like a little too silly.
Do they have a compass?
Do they have anything? They're like, we're going to make surfboards. Out of what? Wood?
Yeah. Tree.
A wooden surfboard? Moronic.
It's just the whole, like, the show was really good, and actually season two was pretty good considering season one. Like, we have a new treasure, all this stuff that's exciting, but there's just so many holes, and it's so hard to root for them.
It's like, I can only suspend disbelief about these teenagers living in North Carolina for so long.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm glad you watch it.
Yeah, I'm glad I watched it too. The only other thing that I did this weekend was I read a book called It Happened One Summer. It was the book that Margot was going to choose for the redheads, but didn't. She chose something like a little bit more serious instead. So it's like YA romance. And honestly, it was really good.
Really?
Like, it was a really good love story. At first, I was like, it's actually the setup of a Hallmark movie, but like the author did a good job of like building the relationship and the love, you know, and just like, it was really cute, but it was like really raunchy. Mm-hmm. So it's called It Happened One Summer.
Of course, if Margot was going to choose it.
It was raunchier than the usual Snitch's choice. Mm. So, but I would recommend it. I really enjoyed like the love story. I thought it was very believable and it was like a cute setup.
Cute. Yeah, my list of books to read is just getting so long. I haven't read in so long. Like I'm not in a reading place. I'll get there soon.
Maybe you just need the right book.
No, I think it's also just like a seasonal thing. Like, I don't read in the summer unless I'm like at the beach. But like, I'm never at the beach. I'm always here.
At the beach.
I'm just here.
In the city.
So, yeah, that's our show, right?
That's our show.
The TV recaps were real. I hope you guys enjoyed all that. Tonight starts Bachelor in Paradise. And honestly, like, I don't know if I could do it. For real.
I want to do it. I just wish I had more time after Love Island. I need a month. Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
Ooh.
Thank you guys so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast life stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us the Morning Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. This is Society Season 2. If you're still listening, make sure to leave an emoji of a sailboat in honor of OBX on our Instagram from today. Have a great day, you guys. Bye. Bye.